Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this your high holy Sabbath day. We ask, Father, that you would draw us closer to you. We thank you for bringing us to this place. We ask that your spirit would be mightily upon us and that you would bless each and every one here and those that are on the call with us, that they would receive, Father, more of your spirit. They would receive a blessing this evening as we come before you to give glory to your name and to learn of you. Father, we thank you for this Feast of Tabernacles and this first high day of the feast. So we thank you again for all the blessings that you bestowed upon your servants and for bringing us here safely. And it's in Yahshua's name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. If you'll take your sacred scriptures in hand, turn with me to Leviticus. We'll look at the law concerning this day. That's Leviticus chapter 23. And we'll start in verse 33. Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month is the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to Yahweh." So we're keeping this Feast of Tabernacles to Yahweh. It's not something that we're doing for ourselves. We've come together because Yahweh has commanded us to keep the feast. He's commanded us to come together to keep this feast. And he's telling us to keep the feast for 7 days. Verse 35, "On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no normal servile work," the work that we normally do. We don't do it. We don't go to our jobs. We don't do that work. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. On the eighth day shall be another holy convocation to you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work. So that's the first high day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And then on the eighth day, which is separate, it's not a part of the feast, even though it's adjoined at the end. Verse 37, "These are the set feasts of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh, a burnt offering and a meal offering, a sacrifice and a drink offering, each on its own day. Besides the Sabbath of Yahweh, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings which you give to Yahweh." Now, when you look at this book, and you look at this passage in Leviticus chapter 23, go back over to verse 1. It says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the set feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my set feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of work, and it is a Sabbath to Yahweh and all your dwellings." So he's talking about the seventh day Sabbath. It's a holy convocation as well. It's a day that we come before Yahweh. The difference is this one, and then they go in verse 4 to the set feast of Yahweh, talking about even holy convocations. You have 7 high holy days to Yahweh. Now, we're in 7th month. We have the last 2 holy days. Okay? Now, Day of Atonement put us into the 6th year of the cycle. So we're getting ready for another sabbatical. This is a year of preparation. The 6 year, just like the 6 day of the week, is a time of preparation. We prepare for Yahweh's Sabbath. Jews of old, Israel of old, didn't do it. And Yahweh told them, if you don't do and keep the Sabbath of the land, that the land would vomit you out. And what happened? They went into captivity for 70 years so the land could rest and receive the Sabbath, sabbatical year. A lot of people give lip service to it, but we have to keep it, and we do. And we'll get into that later in the feast as far as all that it entails, because we're also in a 6 year, which is a third tithe year. I just did an article on the first, second, and third tithe, which was in the last newsletter. And it's important that we understand that it's something that we have to keep. Yahweh's going to bless us and give us what we need to be able to keep the commandment. He never is going to give you a commandment that you cannot keep. One of the things that I've always admired about Martin Luther King when he was in jail in Birmingham, Alabama, and he wrote this letter to the leadership of the SCLC. They were coming down on him for this boycott, and he was saying an unjust law is a law that you don't need to keep. It was an unjust law because it took a certain segment of the population and told them they couldn't do something that the rest of the world or the rest of the population could do. So he showed them basically that it was not fair for his people not to be able to ride on the front of the bus or be able to have the same opportunities and equity in this nation that we fought, died, and shed our blood for. When you look at the contribution of his people, if you take away those contributions, America would not be America. It would be pretty backwards. When you look at all of what happened here and what Yahweh blessed all of us equally. And the thing that I'm trying to bring out here is that with him blessing each and every one of us with the same opportunity, the same blessings, that means that he tells us, you, each one of us is going to keep. I mean, it's up to us to do it, right? But the commandment is for everyone. It's not a commandment that is only for a certain segment of the population. It's for each and every one of us. And that's why I'm saying he gives the blessings accordingly. If you do these things, if you step forward with faith and say, you know what? Yahweh tells me to do this, I'm going to do it. And as you step forward with that faith, guess what? He gives you the blessings to go along with it so that you can fulfill it. And when I wrote the article about the first, second, and tithe, first, second, and third tithe, the reason I was doing it, I had a lot of questions from a lot of new people about it, but I wanted them to understand that Yahweh has said it in his word and given us a formula so that we can be here at the feast. I mean, these offerings that he's talking about, the freewill offerings, the vows, and all of these other offerings are covered with the second tithe. And if we apply that and do it, guess what? The money's available. See? So, and my wife will tell you, we've been there, we've been doing this for 30-something years, keeping the feast, and we've done it both ways. We've had to wait till the last check came to get here sometimes because we didn't do it right. So we know of what we speak because this is not, again, it's here. It's in the Word. So what we want to do here, we want to do everything Yahweh commands us to do because it's going to be a blessing for us. Okay? And this little message is entitled, A Blessing from Yahweh. A Blessing from Yahweh. Now, in verse 39 of Leviticus chapter 23, it says, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruits of the land, you shall keep the feast of Yahweh 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest. That's today. And on the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. And you shall have taken on the first day the fruit of good trees and branches and palm trees and boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook. And we looked for some willows. We didn't see many today. But me and my wife saw right here on the back part of the property where we can snip and get some good stuff to put up on the door and whatnot for decoration, because we're supposed to do this. So we'll make sure, since we didn't do it today, rushing around at the store, we'll get this out Sunday. We'll make sure this is done, that we go out here and gather some of these different branches and whatnot, put them up as decorations. It says, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh. And that's our theme for this feast, to rejoice before Yahweh, the Elohim, 7 days. And you shall keep a feast to Yahweh 7 days in a year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations, and you shall keep it in the seventh month. And you shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are homeborn in Israel shall dwell in booths. Now we're going to get into this a little deeper during the feast. But, of course, the word booth is a tabernacle. It's a temporary dwelling. A lot of people believe you should only stay in tents, because that's what Yahweh made Israel do coming out of Egypt. But see, they didn't have the opportunities that we have. They didn't have, this is still a temporary dwelling, which is one of the actual definitions of the term, okay? So we're still keeping it, but, you know, like I said, I'll read this. In verse 43, it says, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel a dwelling booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh Elohim, and Moses declared to the children of Israel the set feast of Yahweh. So they were able to see that this is what we needed to do as far as keeping the feast before Yahweh. And, before we go to Exodus, let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 13. Deuteronomy 16:13. And you shall keep the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after you've gathered in from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast. So again, we see here the commandment is given to us to rejoice. We're not supposed to come here with our problems, with anything that we left at home. All those burdens, all of those things you leave at home. You understand? You're here to rejoice. There's a different mindset here. You know, sometimes you get yourself in a pickle or a situation, and you constantly, your subconscious mind is working on these things. When you're in a state, and it could be that you're trying to figure out a way to solve a serious problem in your life. But Yahweh tells us to come here and rejoice. We're not supposed to be worried about those problems back at home. They're going to still be there. And we were talking about this coming from the store, about all of the pressure and the problems that we had right before. And I think it was either Carol or my wife said, you know, they believe Yahweh does this to get us to the point so that when we get here, we can feel that relief. That was Carol, okay. So you get here and you feel that release. You got that burden off of you because you made it. You got to the feast. See? So the next step, now that you're at the feast, is to what? Rejoice. That's fine. See? That's what it's about. It says, you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite and the sojourner and the fatherless and the widows that are within your gates. So this is talking about everybody in your circle, okay? This is a third-year tithe. Those people are supposed to be here that you are giving those third-year tithes to. You understand? Our children are supposed to be here. Now, we have to work on that. And I'm saying that I'm talking about all of us, and Yahweh may have touched another one of our children, that maybe next year he will be here because he's gone through some things, and I believe he has the right heart. But sometimes you got to get rock bottom. You got to hit it before you can, you're at rock bottom. All you got to do is look up because that's all you can do. And see, you can see what Yahweh has placed before you. You can see what he's doing in your life. And when people get to that point in their life, when they see some of the things that they want, and the reason I'm using him as an example is because he said something to me the other day about family. And he was struggling. And my younger son says, you know, we got to get him an intervention. We got to do something. And he was so fired up about making the family come together and help him. And my wife said something about, well, when you were going through your struggles, you didn't want to hear it yourself. So you got to get to that point where you realize that you need the help and you can get it, and Yahweh will provide. He opens the door. But the reason I'm saying this is because this passage says you and your son and your daughter, and your manservant and your maidservant, and the Levite and the sojourner, and the fathers and the widow that are within your gates. He wants everyone in your circle to come rejoice before him. You understand? And you know what? A lot of the people that know you, like they say, oh, you're going to the feast. Yes, yeah, we're going to the feast. Oh, yeah, have a good time and whatnot. And they get interested because they want to know what they do there. What's going on there? You know, and until they experience one, until they participate, will they understand the rejoicing that we go through and the joy and what we're looking forward to when we come to keep the feast. Verse 15, 7 days shall you keep a feast to Yahweh Elohim in the place which Yahweh shall choose, because Yahweh Elohim will bless you in all your increase. Now, what's the title of this message? And what does this say? Yahweh your Elohim will bless you in all your increase and all the work of your hand, and you shall be altogether joyful. See, people are sad when they don't have money. They're sad when they don't have the means to make ends meet. But Yahweh tells you if you keep these commandments, he's going to bless you that you're going to be altogether joyful. Three times in a year shall all your males appear before Yahweh Elohim in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Every man who gives as he is able, according to the blessing of Yahweh, your Elohim, which he has given you. So, who gives you the blessing? There you go. Plain and simple. Yahweh gives you the blessing. Now, Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, verse 14. It says, three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year, The Feast of Unleavened Bread shall you keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of your labor, which you sow in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather your fruits, at the end of the year, when you gather in your labors out of the field, 3 times in the year, all your males shall appear before the Sovereign Yahweh. Now, when we come before Yahweh, we come before Yahweh to give praise and honor to Him. But we come before Yahweh in a joyful spirit. And the reason we are joyful is because Yahweh has blessed us to be here. We could be anywhere else in the world, but because we chose Yahweh, He blessed us to be here. In John chapter 7, we'll start in verse 1. And after these things, Joshua walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Feast of the Jews, the Feast of Tabernacles, was at hand. His brethren said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may behold your works which you do. For no man does anything in secret and himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, manifest yourself to the world." For even his brethren did not believe on him. And that's so important for us to understand this right here. These are his brethren, his family, and they did not believe on Yahshua. And that can be hard to take. And the reason I'm saying this is because They've known him since he was a child. And he performed the miracle in Cana of Galilee prior to that with the wine, the water, and he made wine. And he performed other miracles. But he couldn't do what he wanted to do up there because of their unbelief. In verse 6, Yahshua therefore says to them, "My time has not yet come. But your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me. Because I testify of it, that it works for evil. You go up to the feast. I am not yet going up to the feast, because my time is not yet fulfilled." And having said these things to them, he remained still in Galilee. Now Galilee was in the north. Judah is in the south. So you would think he was going down to Judea, but everywhere, every angle went up to Jerusalem. From the east, across the Jordan River, you went up. From the west, from Gaza, you went up. From the north, down, you went up. From the south, you went up. You go up to Zion. It's important that we understand that. Verse 10, "But when his brethren were gone up to the feast, then went he also up, not publicly, but as it were in secret. The Jews therefore sought him at the feast and said, 'Where is he?' They were looking for Yahshua. And there was much murmuring among the multitudes concerning him. Some said, 'He is a good man,' and others said, 'Not so, but he leads the multitude astray.' Yet no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. But when it was now the middle of the feast, Joshua went up into the temple and taught." He did what he always did. He went and taught the people. "The Jews therefore marveled, saying, 'How does this man know letters? How does he know the scriptures, having never learned?'" And the reason they're saying he hadn't never learned, he didn't learn in their university. He didn't learn in their this season. See? He was taught from Yahweh. Yahshua therefore answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man wills to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of Elohim or whether I speak from myself. He that speaks from himself seeks his own glory. And you'll hear that out of their mouths. Anytime you want to know what's in a person's heart, just listen to them. Just talk with them. They'll tell you what's in their heart. But he that seeks the glory of him that sent me, that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet not one of you does the law? Not one of you. Why do you seek to kill me? And these are supposed to be righteous people, but they sought to take his life, which was contrary to the law, the commandments. The Torah says, you shall not kill. The multitude answered, you have a demon. Who seeks to kill you? Yahshua answered and said to them, I did one work and you all marvel because of it. Moses has given you circumcision, not that it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And on the Sabbath you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath? Judge not according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Wouldn't it be more fitting to heal someone that needs a healing on the Sabbath than worrying about circumcision? Verse 25, some therefore of them of Jerusalem said, is not this he whom they seek to kill? They knew that they were trying to kill Yahshua. And lo, he speaks openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the rulers indeed know that this is the Messiah? Absolutely. They knew that this was the Messiah. However, we know this man from where he is. But when the Messiah comes, no one knows from where he is, and that's not true, because it tells us in the scriptures that he's coming from Bethlehem of Judea. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, which are little to be among the thousands of Judah, out of you shall one come forth to me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose origin is from an ancient era, from ages of eternity. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she who travails has brought forth. Then the residue of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and shall feed his flock in the strength of Yahweh and the majesty of the name of Yahweh his Elohim, and they shall remain. For now shall he be great to the ends of the earth. It's talking about the Messiah. It's a messianic prophecy. Back over in John 7, verse 28, Yahshua therefore cried in the temple, teaching and saying, you both know me, and know from where I am, and I am not come of myself. He that sent me is true, whom you know not. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. They sought therefore to take him. And no man laid hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. But of the multitude, many believed on him. And they said, when the Messiah shall come, will he do more signs than those which this man has done? The Pharisees heard the multitude murmuring these things concerning him. And the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to take him. Yahshua therefore said, yet a little while I am with you, and I go to him that sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am you cannot come. The Jews therefore said among themselves, where will this man go that we shall not find him? Will he go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this word that he says, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am you cannot come? Now, when we think about this, those who are out in the world cannot come to the Feast of Tabernacles because it's for those who are going to the kingdom. See, this is a type of the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's why it's so important for us to rejoice before Yahweh, because Yahweh has chosen you. He's given you this opportunity to come before him, to give glory to his name and to praise his name. So these gifts that we have for him, we bring them to the feast and give them. That's why seven times throughout the year, the High Holy Days, we take offerings. We don't take offerings every Sabbath. You know, we hold services throughout. I've had people come up. You know, when I asked about offerings, they thought I was talking about financial. And they were ready to put something in the plate, but there was no plate pass. And I kind of threw it for a loop. But the key is this. We bring our gifts to him at the feast day, because this is what's commanded of him, of us. Verse 37, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Yahshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, from within in him shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Yahshua was not yet glorified. He's been glorified today, brethren. He's been glorified. Each one of us knows of the teaching. We've chosen Yahshua as our Savior. Some of the multitude, therefore, when they heard these words, said, this is of a truth the prophet. Others said, this is the Messiah. But some said, what? Does the Messiah come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Messiah comes of the seed of David and from Bethlehem? So they got that part right. The village where David was. So there arose a division in the multitude because of him. And some of them that would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. The officers therefore came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, why did you not bring him? The officers answered, a man never spoke in this manner. The Pharisees therefore answered, are you also led astray? Has any of the rulers believed on him or of the Pharisees? And the answer is yes, they did. And it's going to happen again in these last days. Verse 49 says, but this multitude that knows not the law are cursed. That's the attitude that they had toward the people. That they were cursed because they don't know the ins and outs of the law like we do. See, the scribes and the Pharisees, they knew every yod and every tittle. But that wasn't important. Verse 50, Nicodemus says to them, because Nicodemus was one of his secret followers. He that came to him before being one of them, does our law judge a man except it first hear from himself and knows what he does? But they heard Yahshua. They knew what he did. He kept the feast. He was there keeping the Feast of Tabernacles among them. They answered and said to him, are you also of Galilee? Search and see. that out of Galilee arises no prophet. And we know there was another prophet that arose and came out of Galilee, and that was Jonah. We are taught that we are to come before Yahweh and rejoice. First Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 7. It says, then on that day David first gave thanks to Yahweh by the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, call upon his name, make known his doings among the people. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Talk you of all his marvelous works. Give and glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Yahweh. That means each and every one of us that are seeking Yahweh, that are here to give praise and honor and glory to him, should be rejoicing. I'll read that again. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Yahweh. Seek Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth, O you seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen one. He is Yahweh, our Elohim. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed the same to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Saying to you, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were few men in number, even very few and sojourners in it, and they went about from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yet he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Sing to Yahweh, all the earth, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory from among the nation, his marvelous works among the peoples. For great is Yahweh and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all Elohim. For all the Elohim of the peoples are idols, but Yahweh made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Ascribe to Yahweh, you kindreds of peoples. Ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship Yahweh in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth, the world also is established that it cannot be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. See, even the earth is going to rejoice before Yahweh. Each one of us is supposed to rejoice here in the feast. And let them say among the nation, Yahweh reigns. Because truly, Yahweh is the reason and the purpose for us being here. We're going to close over in Psalm 84. Psalm 84, and we'll start in verse 1. How amiable are your tabernacles, O Yahweh of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of Yahweh. And this is the way we feel when we are about to come to the feast. We long to come together, to come before the courts of Yahweh, before his people. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living now, Even the sparrow has found her a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Yahweh of hosts, my King and my Elohim, blessed are they that are that dwell in your house. They will be still praising you. Blessed are they that dwell in your house. They will be still praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of spring. Yes, the early rain covers it with blessing. They go from strength to strength. Everyone that appears before Elohim in Zion 3 times in a year, because that's what we're commanded to do. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O Elohim of Jacob, Selah. At this time, if you'll all rise, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we thank you for bringing us to this place, for giving us a blessing, Father, calling us out of this sinful world to come together to give glory to you. We thank you, Father, for the safe passage for each one that is here and for those that are still yet to arrive. We ask that you would bless them with safe passage, that you would fill them, Father, with your Spirit, that they would rejoice before you, Father, because we know that this is a blessing that can only come from you. We love you and we thank you for the many blessings you bestowed upon your servants. Forgive us, Father, for any sins that we may have committed. Cleanse them through the blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And we ask, Father, that as you bless your servants and we leave this place, we ask that that hope is so bright and shining within us that people ask us concerning that hope so that we can witness to them and they can give glory to your name, Father. Because truly, our purpose here is to praise you and give glory to you. So we thank you, Father, for all the blessings you bestowed upon us, for our life, health, and strength, and for the knowledge you've given us to come together and to praise you and give glory to you. We thank you for your Son, Yahshua the Messiah's great sacrifice and giving his life and shedding his blood to cleanse all our sin. And we thank you again for all you've done for us. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. For our closing song, we're going to sing number 30. Let Your Glory Fall. That's number 30.